Welcome back to the show. I am so excited to record this episode today. My mind is like going all over the place. I woke up this morning and I just had this inspired idea to record this episode on hunger specifically. It just felt really relevant for this community right now. It's a topic that comes up a lot when supporting clients. This is something that I have really done a lot of work around personally. And my hope today is to simplify the topic of hunger, provide some more context around why this is often, it might feel so confusing, and also give really practical action steps towards making peace with hunger. By the way, I didn't introduce myself. Hi, I'm Caitlin Parsons. I'm just assuming that you're all here hanging out all the time, but this might be your first time to the show. So welcome to the party. I'm Caitlin Parsons. I'm a certified intuitive eating and body image coach. I really help creative leaders thrive and feel authentic in their skin. I specialize in binge eating and body image support specifically. And I'm so grateful that you are here. So let's just take a deep breath together before we dive in, because we have a lot of things that we're going to talk about in this episode. So breaths are always a good idea. It's often how I start a client session. And just a little hot tip for breathing too. When you inhale, your belly expands like you're blowing up a balloon. And when you exhale, your belly falls. So very often we're used to sucking in our stomachs, especially as women, and that's what we're taught. And we often think that when we breathe in, we suck in. And it's actually the opposite. That is creating a deep diaphragmatic breath, which is good for so many things, specifically mental focus, clarity, stress, sleep, and a lot of other things. This is not an episode on breathing, though. I would love to do one, though, so perhaps in the future, but we are going to talk about hunger. So for most of my life, struggling with binge eating on and off, I felt like I only knew extreme hunger and extreme fullness. I would look around often at other people and feel like, oh my God, they have it figured out. And I'm just sitting here in my own shame cycle, in my own secret, just kind of living my life, feeling really confused and really frustrated. And also just like that was what I was destined to experience for the rest of my life, extreme hunger and extreme fullness. So if you are in that position in your life right now, you are so not alone. If you've been there before, I hear you. I see you loud and clear. These are often things that we don't really talk about because there is a lot of shame associated with this sensation. But it's more normal than you think, believe me. And also, it does not have to be this way. Healing our hunger and just making peace with hunger is a process, and one that is, like most things when it comes to healing our relationship with food, something that is physical, mental, and emotional. It is a process of unlearning and relearning. Okay, so I want to zoom out for a moment and shine a light on some of the things that you may not recognize when it comes to hunger. Some things you might. I'd love to hear, actually. So come over to the Instagram page, my Instagram page, Caitlin Parsons, and tell me. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, but there's no doubt about it. We live in a culture, AKA diet culture, that has a really deep-rooted fear of hunger. And the truth is, if our culture is teaching us to not trust our own body cues around hunger, then how the hell are we supposed to feel comfortable and secure with this very natural body cue? So one of the things that you have probably heard me speak about often, if you've been in this podcast community for a while, or just the community in general, even if you don't listen to the podcast that often, I talk about this regularly just in my content. But the importance of addressing complex restriction. I say complex because it is physical, mental, and emotional when it comes to restriction. And I often speak about restriction in terms of healing binge eating and getting out of the restrict binge cycle so that you can feel more comfortable around food. It's super important to address. So, like I said before, I want to shine a light on something that I didn't realize was happening when I was feeling really confused around hunger and just kind of in my own frustration with it. When we engage in restrictive eating, whether it is intentional dieting or internalized health rules, some other form of restriction, that is almost always going to create a backlash in our body's response to food, which usually shows up as eating past comfortable fullness or mindless eating. This could be using food as a main emotional coping tool or straight up binge eating. And this alone is absolutely going to create an inability to trust our body, which often becomes confused with our ability to trust our hunger cues. And so in a cultural context, we have basically been swimming in an environment, we're calling it diet culture. That's what it is. It's so sneaky, but we're swimming in an environment which is promoting really subtle forms of restriction and then essentially teaching us that we should fear hunger. We shouldn't be able to trust our hunger, that there's so much messaging around that. So it makes sense, right? When I first started thinking about this, I had a huge light bulb moment. I'm not sure if I hope I'm making this clear. And you know, everybody's light bulb moments come at different times. So this might feel really relevant right now. You might be scratching your head thinking like, I don't really get it. Wherever you're at is exactly where you need to be. So just trust. But it was a big light bulb moment for me because I thought, oh my God, I have been swimming in these waters my whole life saying, don't eat this, don't eat too much. You know, all of these external messages that are basically promoting restriction around my relationship with food, and then also getting the messages of, well, but, you know, don't eat too much, or, you know, be wary of your hunger because it could mean this, and all of these messages and beliefs around our hunger. And that makes sense because if we're in restriction, our body is going to have the backlash that I just mentioned. That never feels good. It doesn't feel good to eat past comfortable fullness. It doesn't feel good to engage in binge eating or just mindless eating all of the time, or eating to cope with emotions all the time. And being stuck in that cycle, all of those cycles are results of the restriction and deprivation that we're being sold in diet culture. So the two really go hand in hand. Unlearning, like I said before, is a big, big piece of this. So when it comes to beginning the unlearning process, a helpful question to ask yourself is, what are those external messages that I've been taught about hunger? So for example, messages around appetite suppressants, advertisements around this, or things that you might have picked up from your social circles, whether it's friends or family, or just they're everywhere. Things that you might have just like seen on a billboard driving by. I don't know. Health tips like If you feel hungry, you are most likely dehydrated. Just messages like that. Distraction strategies to avoid hunger, like take a bath or take a walk or call a friend. By the way, all of those things, baths, walks, friendship, connection, these are great ideas for self-care support tools, but not in place of honoring our hunger. So really taking some time to list out all of these rules and messages and beliefs that you have heard about hunger is the first step to really just build that awareness and get clear on where are these external cues really showing up in my life. And as you're going through this, whether it's just a general reflection or actually doing some journaling, writing it out, talking it out with a support person, even a friend in your life, however you want to do this exercise, just go through and ask yourself, is this true? Is this true? How do I know it's true? Is this supportive for me? And so often we don't even realize that all of the external messages like these have slowly built up over time, and they really begin blocking our ability to trust our bodies and ourselves. It is so sneaky. So it's really empowering when we give ourselves the time to just lay it all out and acknowledge, okay, what are these subconscious and conscious beliefs that have been created in my life around how I perceive hunger. Okay. So when it comes to relearning, despite what our culture teaches us, hunger actually shows up in many different ways, way beyond just the typical stomach pain or grumbling or gnawing that we are traditionally taught. So let me give you some other examples of how our body lets us know it's hungry. And as you're listening to these, just consider if these are symptoms that show up for you regularly, or if they are things that you've experienced recently or memories that you have around these. So besides just the physical hunger pain in the stomach, some other ways that hunger shows up could be feeling a headache, feeling tired, or just lightheadedness in general, difficulty concentrating, thinking about food. That was when I heard that one for the first time, I was like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And are you serious? a dry mouth or extra saliva in our mouth, just the way that we are experiencing hunger there, different forms of anxiety and how that is showing up in the body, irritability. If you've ever heard the term hangry before, often that is a dip in our blood sugar, and that can occur for a lot of different things, but often it's because we need to eat food right now. And that's why it shows up, and it is so not fun to be the one who is hangry or on the other side receiving the hanger. So it's just something to consider. This is also often one of the reasons why hunger is mistaken or demonized for emotional eating, which I will absolutely address in a later episode. I have a lot of thoughts, and there's a lot of research around just emotional eating in general, and there is a lot of confusion about it in our culture. But if you noticed, I mentioned a few things, for example, anxiety, and really often that is just an opportunity to acknowledge, okay, I think I need to perhaps eat food right now. And just honoring your body's hunger cues on an adequate level, which I'll get into in just a moment, rather than feeling like you're using food to cope for the anxiety. There's a lot to go into around there and just speaking about anxiety specifically, that is a completely different topic. But I hope that you kind of see the bridge that I'm getting to and explaining that. So one thing to also acknowledge when it comes to hunger signals is that if you have engaged in forms of food restriction for long periods of time, whether it's intentional dieting or if you've experienced an eating disorder, certain illnesses, things like this, this has a high risk of skewing your body's natural hunger signals. So there are many, many studies that report individuals struggling with anorexia often don't experience hunger sensations because they've adapted numbing this feeling out physically and psychologically. And so they just can't really feel hunger anymore. And I am sure there are many of you in this community who can relate to that. I can certainly relate to that at different points in my life. So just know that that is important to consider. And this is often one of the main challenges in recovery as well too, particularly if patients are recovering through an intuitive eating process because of the dissonance that occurs when you're eating based on your body telling you that it's hungry and actively working to rebuild that cessation. They feel kind of conflicting when you're in the active eating disorder. So this often means eating when you don't necessarily feel like you're hungry to rebuild that body cue, which is really complex and often very challenging emotionally and mentally as well too. This is also why it's incredibly important and beneficial to get professional support when healing. And just to be clear, an intuitive eating process through eating disorder recovery is definitely possible. It's just administered a bit differently for those with active eating disorders. And it's, of course, based on individual needs, which, again, is why it's so important to work with somebody who is a trained professional in these areas. Okay, so let's talk about steps for moving forward, more steps for moving forward, since we kind of already addressed that. But I want to give three really clear steps for beginning to make peace with hunger. And I will just be really clear. These are the same steps that I use when talking about healing binge eating. They really go hand in hand, and they're also very layered, very complex, have a lot of nuance to them. So just take it in, take notes, take a breath. Number one, you got to make sure you're eating consistently throughout the day. Hands down, so important. I know that there are many people who are thinking and probably have questions like, well, what about intermittent fasting? And what about this? And what about that? And all of these things. This is not going to be an episode on intermittent fasting. I have a lot of thoughts about that. But to really begin building a consistent rhythm with your body and your body cues, hunger being a main one of them, making sure that you are eating consistently throughout the day is foundational. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks. Generally speaking, eating 3 to 4 hours, not going longer than 4 hours. And this isn't to eat by the clock, but when you are in the healing process, when you're really doing your due diligence to nourish your body and re-nourish your body, it might feel like that at first. I often say this to clients when we start working together. The beginning of the intuitive eating process and just the healing process, healing your relationship with food, you're learning. So it's going to feel like you're hyper aware. So it is really normal to check in and kind of monitor, okay, it's been, you know, 3 hours, I need to eat something. Even if I'm not physically hungry right now, I need to get my body back into that rhythm to give it the space to experience what hunger might feel like and kind of reignite that cue, which I get it. It might feel scary at first, but it really is essential. Okay. And then the second piece to really look at in making peace with hunger is making sure that you're eating enough food. And this is really important. So enough food is being consumed at each meal, at each snack. This is, of course, going to vary on individual and based on your lifestyle. There are many different factors that will go into how much food is considered enough for one person, how much you are moving, how much physical activity you're doing, your age, your sleep, your menstrual cycle. And then of course, other individual factors like illnesses that come up, pregnancy, stress, eating disorder, treatment, recovery, all of these things. So there's lots to consider here, but generally speaking, just checking in for yourself if you are not working with a professional, and just acknowledging, okay, am I eating consistently throughout the day? Is this enough food for me? How do I feel? Just asking yourself the question on a physical level, on a mental, on an emotional level, does this feel like an adequate amount of food for me? And then the third step towards making peace with hunger is giving yourself access to a variety of foods. So this means gently beginning to challenge food rules, making peace with all food, really looking at food policing. So those thoughts in your mind around, oh, you should eat this, you shouldn't eat that, and just kind of that mental game that we play with ourselves, that's kind of what is known as food policing, just kind of a high-level overview of what that looks like. And this really ties into several principles of the intuitive eating process. And it does take time, but it is really important. So making sure you're eating consistently, making sure you're eating enough food in that consistency, and really making sure that you are eating enough variety of satisfying foods throughout that consistent process in your day as well too. So simultaneous to these three steps that I just mentioned, you can begin exploring the other possible signs of hunger and how you respond. So for example, if you notice that you get a headache at a certain time of the day, that's a really great opportunity to just check in, see if you can grab a snack or have a meal perhaps. Or if you notice that you are thinking about food often, another great opportunity to just check in and see, hey, did I eat enough today? Did I eat enough satisfying components of food today at my last meal? Do I need a meal or a snack right now? Maybe you might just need a little something extra to satisfy that. And really leading with curiosity in this process is essential in the unlearning and relearning process, staying really open, curious. I love the term, just the student of your life, and just continuing to show up and learn about yourself in this way, is really just such a great place to begin exploring and practicing this. So I also just realized I say so at like every single new paragraph. I am reading based on notes. I took a lot of notes for this particular episode because I really wanted to make sure that I got everything in that I could on this topic in a way that isn't completely overwhelming. So where do I want to go next? When it comes to hunger and just honoring hunger in general, here we go. I found my place. A great indicator to eat is when you feel yourself just slightly getting hungry on that hunger scale. So if we're looking at a hunger scale on a scale of 1 to 10, which is a tool that we use a lot in the intuitive eating process, it again, it's one of those kind of hyper-aware tools in the beginning that we don't even really think about as we become intuitive eaters. But one is considered like ravenous hunger, where you're just so hungry, very much in that primal state. And then a 10 would be just incredibly full, like almost sickening full. So when we approach hunger, a really great number on the scale to shoot for is around a 3 to 4, just that mild nudge of hunger, which I get it. I know that you might be sitting there thinking like, how am I supposed to know how that feels? It takes practice. It takes time. This is why support is really helpful in this, and you will get there. But a really great way to just start to recognize that is knowing just those biological signs and really listening to those natural body cues that are telling you that it's time to eat. Remember, this might show up differently than that feeling in your stomach. So it might be, I'm noticing I'm just a little lightheaded right now, but I'm not ravenously hungry. That's still a great indication that, okay, it's probably time to eat. Or one of the other things that I had mentioned before as well too, what we want to try to avoid to really just nourish our bodies in the best way possible, what we want to try to avoid is waiting until you are just really hungry. So on the other side of that scale, kind of like in that 8, 9, 10 range, when you're just ravenous, you're getting into that hangry territory. This is what is known as primal hunger. And this is a state of your body going into protective mode. And this is, I know it's so frustrating in the moment. I know that it feels just really complex sometimes, but in those moments, especially of learning, I personally found this as a great opportunity to practice self-compassion and just acknowledge, okay, wow, this is my body protecting me. This is when our body goes into protective mode, when it senses famine or deprivation. It's just your body trying to keep you safe. It really can't distinguish between a restrictive diet or an actual famine. So we want to, you know what? I totally just realized I screwed up the way that I presented those numbers. I said an 8, 9, 10. What I meant to say, because that would be like on the fullness side of the scale, is primal hunger is more or less in that 1, 2, 3, like the very, very hungry stages on the scale. Thanks for being patient with that little revision. I hope that you can see that. And by the way, if that's something that you actually want, I have a guide that I'll link in the show notes that actually has a hunger and fullness scale in it. It's my food freedom guide. I'm not sure if I think I've included that here before, but in case you want to grab it, it actually has the hunger and fullness scale in it. So we'll link it in the show notes for you to get if that's something that you would like. So again, we want to be in that biological, just gently hungry territory when we start eating food. And this is not to create a ton of stress and anxiety and rules around getting it right. This is just a general guide, a general compass of what to look for as we begin really healing our relationship with hunger and just getting to a place where we can listen to and honor our hunger cues more consistently and more actively. Okay, so let's wrap up this little mini training on hunger and just kind of go over everything we talked about before so that you can just digest it, move forward, and begin taking action for yourself. So we talked about acknowledging and challenging the messages and beliefs that you've been taught about how to navigate hunger in your body, really looking at that, laying it all out, getting really clear on that, and then going into just noticing the more subtle ways that hunger shows up for you beyond just the sensation in your stomach. And then the three parts that we discussed, eating consistently throughout the day, making sure that you're eating enough food, and also having a wide variety of satisfying food options. And the last piece of this is to stay patient, stay curious. Really, self-compassion is so essential in this entire process. To just remember, this process takes time and it is often more complex than we realize. So self-compassion is key. Patience is essential. Staying open, staying curious, learning, and just moving forward one step at a time is going to be wildly beneficial for you in making progress forward. All right, that's it. If you found this episode helpful, please consider forwarding it to a friend who might appreciate learning alongside you. And just a little caveat there, be mindful when you do that. Sometimes this can be very sensitive for people. And so this is not to throw information at other people when they might not be ready to hear it, or preach to other people on things that you're learning that make sense for you right now. I would love to invite you to share this episode if you know that someone is on a similar path to you in terms of healing their relationship with food, if they're just curious about learning about how to do this in general. Those are the people that you want to send this to. Unless, of course, you know, always use your discretion. I trust that you know who to relay information to in your life. But I think it's important to give the disclaimer as well too. And if you're resonating with this information and ready to go deeper in healing your relationship with food and rebuild body trust so that you can feel more free, more present, and more flexible in living your life, click the show notes, book a breakthrough call with me to discuss coaching. These spots are application based. They're limited. So definitely don't wait to take action if that is something that you are interested in. That's all for today. I love you. I hope this was helpful and supportive for you. And I will be doing an episode on fullness soon as well too, because that's equally confusing, and hunger and fullness go hand in hand. So be on the lookout for that in an upcoming episode, and have a great week. Bye.
That's our show. Thank you for spending time with us today. Our show producer is Stephanie Olea. Shayla Anderson is our community manager. For more information around healing your own relationship with food and body image, click the show notes and you'll find direct links to our guests, plus resources and more. If this conversation resonated with you, please leave a review and share it with a friend so that we can continue to heal and empower these important topics around our relationship with food and body. Sending you so much love, confidence, and strength. I'll see you next week for another episode.